The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to your weekly dose of heart and soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance with your host, Jory Fisher. Jory and her guests will inspire you to discern your life's purpose and make a positive difference in the world around you. Now, here's Jory Fisher.
Hello and welcome to Heart and Soul. I'm Jory Fisher, your host. And joining us today, October 28th, 2009, is Susan Whitcomb, a prominent figure in the world of career management and job search coaching. Susan is the author of 6 career books and founder of The Academies, a coach training organization that includes Career Coach Academy, Job Search Academy, and Leadership Coach Academy. Our topic today is mistakes job seekers make. Would you like to greet our listeners, Susan?
I would definitely. Thank you. Pleased to be here, and I hope there are job seekers out there listening or people who know people who are either unemployed or underemployed or nervously employed.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Well, I'd like to take just a minute to thank Voice America for the privilege of hosting a show with the Internet's number one talk station, especially my personal team, Frank, Jeff, Randy, and Michael, and thank my listeners for tuning in again to Heart and Soul Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. Would you please email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com if you or someone you know would like to advertise their business or cause on Voice America? It's an excellent way to get your message out to millions of listeners. So, why did I create a show on purpose, passion, and perseverance? Number one, because I think many of my listeners feel a little bit lost, a little bit uncertain, a little bit discouraged, perhaps, about how their one life can make a difference in this world. Number two, because I want you to be encouraged by my guests who are doing their part to shed some grace on the world around them, whether locally, nationally, or internationally. Three, because I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a unique reason for being on this earth. And four, because of my life purpose, which is to shepherd seekers who hunger and thirst to find, follow, and fulfill their divine calling. What you can expect from this show is a spirited conversation with one or two dynamic guests each week, listener interaction, so please call us to make that happen, and a challenge to live life like you mean it. I encourage you to listen to my archive shows and to keep your calls and emails coming. With your permission, I'll read segments of your emails on air, or, as I did last week, I may forward them to my guests so they may respond to you directly. And now it is my privilege to introduce you to my good friend, Susan Whitcomb. Known as America's Career and Life Coach, Susan is the author of 6 popular books, including Resume Magic, Interview Magic, Job Search Magic, 30-Day Job Promotion, and The Christian's Career Journey. Susan is the founder of Job Search Academy, Career Coach Academy, and Leadership Academy, which have trained and credentialed hundreds of professionals worldwide. She's earned her professional certified coach designation and holds credentials as a certified job search strategist, certified career management coach, and certified life coach. She brings 20 years experience to the table, helping people land a new job or a promotion, and she has worked with more than 10,000 clients during her career. Her brand revolves around inspiring and equipping people with the tools, tenacity, and truths that will transform their passions into profit while also making a dramatic difference in the world. Susan, before we get into today's topic of mistakes job seekers make, I'd like our listening audience to get to know you a little bit.
Lovely.
So my first question for you would be, why do you think I would invite you to be on a show about purpose, passion and perseverance.
Well, hopefully because I am passionate about what I do, purposeful about what I do, and learning along the road of life, perseverance. So that's my piece. I think from the job seeker's perspective that if people aren't clear on what they're passionate about, purpose, what their purpose might be, and how to persevere, that they are really going to be struggling. And those are three key pieces that ought to be the foundation or the bedrock of one's job search.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, along the lines of allowing our listening audience and to know a little bit about Susan Whitcomb, would you please tell us, how did you get started on your career path?
You know, I love telling my story because I sort of considered myself to be the poster child for lack of career planning. My mother chose my college major, and I said, okay, Mom, that sounds good. I'll do that. And so went to school and became a music therapist. And then about the time that I finished that degree and did an internship, social programs were getting cut left and right, and I thought, well, maybe this isn't the most secure position I could be in. So I moved back home, closer to home, and went to work as a secretary, very unpurposeful, very unintentional, sort of stumbled along, found somebody that wanted to start a resume writing business and a secretarial business, and I said, oh, that sounds fun, we can do that together. And so we just sort of serendipitously moved into that and lasted all of about, I think, 6 months as partners. And so then I found myself with this little business that needed to be run, and so I did that and discovered that I didn't like the secretarial part as much, and so I went to the, gravitated towards the resume writing and got really good at that and enjoyed that. And, but none of it really was planned. It was just sort of these intersection of opportunities with, I think, a lot of hard work and a dedication to excellence. So, my first book was written only because I was at a cocktail party at a conference, and I had contributed some resumes to the books called Gallery of Best Resumes, and I was talking to the editor of that book, and I said, gosh, have you ever thought about doing a book on sort of the before and after picture of resumes? And he looked at me and he said, no, but you would be the one to write it. So there was, you know, again, it was unplanned completely, nothing that I would have thought of. It just sort of serendipitously happened. And so as I discovered coaching a few years later, I thought, wow, now I've really come full circle. And this is what I was meant to do with my life. And from that point, coaching has allowed me to be much more intentional about where I'm going in life and what I want to do and what I want to be, who I want to be in that process, and the legacy that I'd like to leave.
Well, look at you, how wonderful that is, that even without your own personal coach, you were able to end up in the right place.
Yes, and I think as valuable as a coach can be, I think you can supercharge your success with a coach, and yet at the same time, for those that haven't had that benefit or haven't been intentional like I was many years ago, I think there's still this hope that life can recycle anything that you've walked through and is recycling that even now. And so if we can just open our eyes and see from that perspective, from sort of like almost an eternal perspective, that things can look very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're hearing a lot of passion in your voice. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you are so impassioned about helping others along their career journey?
You know, I sort of look at life as this beautiful masterpiece. In fact, I have some puzzles in my puzzle box, and one of them is a puzzle of the Mona Lisa. And I like to think about each one of us being a piece of that puzzle, and that we are all interlocking, and that if we're not really certain about what our purpose is, it's almost as if that puzzle piece is not fitting in to the masterpiece. And back to the Mona Lisa puzzle, if you think about it, you know, you, each one of you out there could be a piece of that. Maybe her eye, maybe her smile, maybe part of her ear or something like that. If it's missing, if it's not in place, the whole picture doesn't look as pretty. And when you do recognize your use, your value, how you're supposed to be interlocking and interlinking with the world around you, perhaps in a business setting, in a career setting, and then things fit into place, and it looks prettier. And we are just more than the sum of us, or the sum of us is more, obviously. So that's my thought about why I'd love to see people really hooked in and aligned with understanding their value, their strengths, the way they've been wired, their DNA, their designed nature and assets, DNA, that will cause them to be of greater value to their employers. And once they have that connection with their value, then they have a much better bargaining position to operate from, and that gives them confidence. So it's this wonderful cycle.
Well, it sounds, if I'm thinking about your Mona Lisa example correctly, it sounds as if you're saying that it's actually the responsibility of each of us to know where we fit in and what our life purpose is. Is that right?
It is, and that takes some work. It's not something that you might be able to just have this great epiphany and 30 seconds later know, oh, this is it. And I think that it's worth taking the time to discover that, because it can really then set you on a course that's going to be so much more productive than you would have been not knowing that.
Well, seeing everything that you've accomplished, I think it's a fair assumption that you indeed have discovered your life's purpose. Would you please describe that to us?
Now, I sort of tweak the wording on this occasionally, but right now I'm at a point where I would say it is to equip and encourage people with the tools and the truths that will allow them to be more than they dreamed possible.
Wow. And I would imagine that you have helped people do that. Would you give us just a quick example before we take a break of maybe somebody that you can think of who has been equipped with those tools through your help?
Well, part of my work is to train career coaches, and I see it in those people each and every day. I'm thinking about some people that are in some of the classes that are running right now. These are talented, successful people. Some of them have been in Fortune 500 companies, and they just have this sort of sense that there's something more, there's something different, that and have started exploring coaching as a result of that, and finding, similar to what I said a few minutes ago, that all of a sudden things click and they say, this is what I was born to do. I can't believe somebody's going to pay me to do this. I love doing this so much. I can think of somebody who's been laid off from the publishing newspaper industry, which, of course, is an industry that's really taken a big hit in the last 18, 24 months. And she is exploring coaching and just feeling like this is really a purposeful place for her to be. So when you can find that, especially after you've come out of a layoff or a downsizing where there's been some pain, and to come back and discover that, wow, you know, I can do something with my life, even if I'm in my 50s or in some cases my 60s or older, that can really give you a sense of significance and security. And I think that's something that all of us are looking for in life, is significance and security.
Well, thank you, Susan. Look forward to talking to you more about that. We need to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, we'll dive into today's hot topic, careers, job searches, and mistakes job seekers make. This is your host, Jory Fisher, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, Susan Whitcomb, who is speaking to us from Fresno, California. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearnings.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you can't put down a good mystery novel, you'll want to check out Mystery Matters with Fran Stewart. Each week, you'll hear from the top mystery writers of our time. From suspense thrillers to forensics, you'll explore all of the categories that make a great mystery work. Not only will we discuss the secrets of the story, but we'll go behind the novel to sort out all of the pieces of the puzzle. Broadcast live each Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America. Mystery Matters, where murder is an open book.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. We've been listening to Susan Whitcomb describe her passion for helping others find significance and success in their careers. Susan, would you please start off this segment of the show by describing the job situation in America today?
Well, I think most people who are watching the news know that it's not a happy one, and some of the statistics can really be disheartening. The Department of Labor has indicated that the average time for an unemployed person to find a job is 27.2 weeks on average. Ouch. The New York Times reported recently that the jobs seekers to jobs ratio is 6-1, meaning there's one job for every six job seekers that are out there. CNN Money indicated that 65% of job seekers would take at least a 30% cut in pay. Many people would take more. So it's just really a difficult situation. Now, I don't want to be just a bearer of bad news. I think on the flip side of that, we need to look at the realities. And that is that companies are constantly adding and subtracting workers, and sometimes simultaneously. I just saw a news article about Microsoft laying off some people, but at the same time they're hiring in a different place. And last month, I believe the Department of Labor reported that some 4 million people were hired in 1 month alone. And the really good news is that you don't need 4 million jobs. You need just one. Just one.
Well, that's true. And that 6-1 ratio, wasn't it fairly recently a 4-1 ratio?
It was. I had seen statistics that said 4-1. In fact, I think when we talked about this a number of months ago, it was 4-1. And then the more recent news that I'd seen from the New York Times said 6-1.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah. It's not improving drastically right now, but as you pointed out, we only need one job per person, right? Not 4 million. So let's look in the specifics.
Right.
With all of this gloom and doom, how would you suggest that a savvy seeker tap the hidden job market and uncover career opportunities?
Yes. Well, see, that 6-1 ratio that they're referring to, I believe, is really related to the advertised positions that are out there. And so if we instead look at it from the perspective of where can I find opportunities as opposed to openings, then I think those numbers are going to drastically change. And then all of a sudden you don't have to look at those statistics. You can look at creating new opportunities. And so to do that, I think the main thing that people need to do is to not chase openings, but instead pursue opportunities. And to do that, they have to be what I call a CIO. And in corporate speak, most people think of a CIO as a chief information officer, kind of a tech guy or gal. Mm-hmm. And in this case, CIO stands for companies, influencers, and opportunities. So if instead somebody attacks their job search not from, let me go to Monster.com or Hot Jobs or Career Builder and look for the openings that are there, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that at all, but instead of making that the foundation of their search, if they instead say, what are the companies that I would like to be working for? What companies would be a good organizational fit for me? What companies have products or services that I'm really passionate about or excited about? What companies are perhaps in a trending upward mode or growth mode? Looking at those companies and thinking specifically about, do I really want to work for a boutique firm or a huge corporate kind of structure? Do I want something that's privately owned? Really kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty of what that company looks like is the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Go for the ideal where you could really see yourself working.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of fun to start thinking about what are those companies. And you can start by asking some of your friends or colleagues, who do you know that loves their employer? Or what are just some of the top-of-mind companies? Most people have an idea of the companies that are around them. And so start thinking about what those are and then expand that by looking online and doing some research, going to best lists that sometimes the Chamber of Commerce might produce or publish. You know, librarians are sometimes the most often overlooked wonderful free resource that's available. Go and ask them about resources that would give you some ideas about online, or not online, but about companies. So really going in depth with looking at the companies that are around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the second piece goes to the I in the CIO approach, and the I would be influencers. So those would be, in most cases, hiring managers. They would be recruiters, sometimes HR. Influencers can also be the people that you might be working with or the people that are influencing the hiring manager's decision. So you can see here that this is really the network. And that network can expand to not just people within the target company, but those people that are suppliers of the company, customers of the company, advisors to the company, can really go beyond just right inside that company. And it's important that once you identify those influencers, you also know what's important to them. And this sort of takes us to the O and the opportunities. So uncovering opportunities, questions that help to uncover those opportunities would be things like, you know, what is it that needs to be accomplished in the next 30, 60, 90 days in your department? What's not getting done? What's the thing that's keeping people up at night or is causing stress? Any of those questions can really get to the root of what really needs to be accomplished. And when a job seeker knows what needs to be accomplished, they shift themselves from this sort of supplicant on bended knee, you know, praying, please give me a job, to a solution who's going to be able to partner with that person. And that solution status is going to give them more confidence and more value in their discussions.
I like that. From supplicant to solution. That's good. Really good. All right, so CIO.
Whoops. CIO,
companies, yeah. Influencers, and opportunities. Well, that's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Well, what about some of the invisible aspects of success? Would you like to address that?
Oh, I would love to address that. That's one of my favorite topics because I think about, you know, when people tackle things, they oftentimes tackle the externals and the observables. Sometimes I refer to it as the M&Ms. It's the mechanics of what needs to be done, but they miss the mindset about how they need to approach it.
So in job search, the mechanics are things like, I need to get my resume updated or tweaked, or I need to get my elevator pitch in line, or I need to, in this case, I need to identify my target companies. Those are all important things, and I'm not saying that we don't need to do them. But on the other side of the scale, the mindset really has to be the foundation. And so what is your mindset towards this process? And if you're reading the CNN reports, sometimes the mindset is, oh my gosh, I'm never going to find a job. Look at the statistics. Look at the stock market. Look at all of these negative things. Instead, if we approach it from the perspective of, I have what I need. There is enough. Provision is surrounding me. That can really shift things.
Mm-hmm. And I have what you need. I mean, if you're part of the solution.
You're right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Great. Yeah. But thinking, oh, I love that, how you saw that other side of it from the employer's side. And the story that I think illustrates that so well, many people would be familiar with Randy Plosh, the Carnegie Mellon professor who died of pancreatic cancer and wrote that amazing book, The Last Lecture. And he was, I think, interviewed by, I want to say it was Diane Sawyer, he and his wife, in the last months of his life. And Diane asked his wife, Jay, how is it that you survive this? How do you get through this, knowing what's coming? And she said a phrase that I think is just something that everybody ought to memorize. And what she said was this, I have everything I need.
Mm.
I think that's profound. Because here she was ready to lose probably the most cherished thing in her life, her husband. I have everything I need. And when we approach life from that perspective, it's as if all of a sudden we start seeing the things that we hadn't seen previously. We start mm-hmm. seeing the connections. We start seeing the networking connections that we need. We start seeing the solutions that we need. It's just an amazing shift that can happen.
Which is not to say that perhaps you couldn't pick up a degree here or there or another certification here and there, that kind of thing, but
right.
that for the most part, you are already well-equipped. Is that right?
Yes, right. And perhaps the solution that you see now is, I need to go get this certification. And so that's having everything you need. So then you think, well, I need the money to get this certification. And all of a sudden something comes or you see how you can shift your budget. And that's part of I have everything that I need. And then it's that you need a babysitter to watch the child so that you can go to class at night. And you discover that a relative says, I'll watch her on Monday night. So you go to your class. That's I have everything I need. It's step by step by step by step.
Right. And it keeps you from thinking that you're just stuck and wallowing in a pity party, right?
Yes, or overwhelmed. Just
mm-hmm.
look at what is the one thing that I need right now and really narrow it down and figure out what that one step is, and there's provision for it. And sometimes that provision even takes the form of peace when you don't have the answer.
Mm. Explain how that would work.
So perhaps there's a situation where you're sort of in a waiting pattern and you're waiting to know, let's see if I can come up off the top of my head with an example here. You're waiting to know whether or not you're going to get a particular job that you've interviewed for. Well, there's no way that you're going to have that answer until the powers that be at the company are going to make that decision. And so I have everything I need, that mantra in this case might be, I have the peace that I need to wait while they make that decision. And I have the ideas and the actions that I can walk out while I'm waiting for that to happen so that I'm not just sitting around eating bonbons on the couch, but I'm going out and continuing to network, continuing to look at that CIO approach.
Susan, that's an excellent point, because I keep reading articles about how America's getting fatter as a result of the economy,
that
people are just feeling really sorry for themselves and sitting around and maybe not eating bonbons, maybe Fritos or something, but
mm-hmm.
just we're playing into addictions and overeating or whatever it may be because we get depressed. And so that is something that we definitely need to turn around. Well, good. I know you have a lot of encouragement to offer people, even people who have just been laid off, in the next segment. So right now, I'd like to invite our listeners to call us with any questions you may have for my distinguished guest, Susan Whitcomb. You may also email questions and comments to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. If you do send an email, would you please tell me which, if any, of your comments may be read on air, either today or next week, and if I may mention your name and state. After this quick break, Susan will talk about the mistakes job seekers make, give you some specific ways to avoid them, and will continue to encourage you. This is your host, Jory Fisher, and my distinguished guest, Susan Whitcomb. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times, I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children, and we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
While parenting has its joys, it's also stressful. If you'd like help finding practical solutions to the challenges you're facing, listen to Real Parents, Real Solutions with host Tony Shuda. You'll leave with options you can try with your kids right after the broadcast. Tony will interview experts and real parents for real solutions to problems that will reduce your stress and make your family happier. Call in, write in. This show is for you. Real Parents, Real Solutions airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Back to Heart and Soul. We've been talking with Susan Whitcomb about the current job situation in America and ways to increase your chances of getting hired. Susan, would you please just start off this segment giving some encouragement to some of our listeners who may have recently been laid off?
Yeah, it's a shock to the system, and it I just really encourage you to surround yourself with what I call bone marrow people. And those bone marrow people are the people who give life to you. They're not the ones who say, well, what are you going to do, or how's your job search going? Instead, they just say, how are you doing, and what can I do to be of support to you? And so find those people and limit the time that you might spend with those that you know kind of drag you down. I think that's really a critical place. And then some of the things we'll be talking about a little bit later in the show is to really know what your value is, know what your strengths are, and that can bring a lot of confidence to you in that process. And maybe one
of might even help to put some affirmations, you know, like write down some affirmations about who you are and how great you are and what the qualities are that you do possess, and maybe put them on your computer or put them on your refrigerator or whatever, right?
Yeah, and remember that Mona Lisa puzzle that we talked about in an earlier segment, that you're a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not out there doing the things that you do best, the whole picture is not going to be as nice. So.
Mm.
And I think just be aware of the process that you go through. A colleague of mine, Nancy Branton, who runs Leadership Coach Academy, shared this with me. It's an acronym for SARAH, S-A-R-A-H, and it stands for shock, anger, resentment, acceptance, and hope. And so know that you're going to go through that sequence. And then the question is, am I going to be bitter about this or better about this? And I can assure you that the bitter Bettys do not do well in job search. They can be spotted a mile away by hiring managers or your networking contacts. You've got to turn into a positive Paula and really move beyond and stay focused on the future.
So even if the person thinks that they're disguising it, what you're saying is if they harbor bitterness, it's going to show in some way?
It does. And in some cases, or in many cases, there's some forgiveness that may need to happen on your part, even if you have been truly wronged. If not, it can be a chip on the shoulder. And again, employers, interviewers, networking contacts, they will spot it.
Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not serving you, right?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, thank you for that encouragement. I would like our listeners to hear some specifics. They may be hoping with this job mistake topic that you can say something about resumes, networking, and interviewing. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
You bet, yes. There are a number of mistakes that people can make. Let's just take one topic at a time. So the resume.
Okay.
I see this as just a really popular mistake or faux pas, and that's that people try and make it the silver bullet, and they sometimes over-tweak and are so focused, hyper-focused on the resume that they miss the other pieces of the puzzle, meaning the face-to-face networking and the going at it from that CIO approach of companies, influencers, and opportunities. Sometimes another mistake that they make with it is that they lead with the resume, meaning they want to get that out there and have that be their entree or their introduction. And in most cases, a resume spells, I need a job, I need help. If you can instead present yourself first with, these are my strengths, this is the value proposition that I can bring to your organization, that, and then back up that conversation with a resume, that sequence works better. Jeffrey Fox wrote a book called Don't Send a Resume and Other Contrarian Rules for the Job Search, something like that for a subtitle, and I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. So that would be a big mistake with the resume, just over-tweaking submitting it to all of the big job sites and thinking that that's going to be the start of the job search. And in reality, that's sort of getting the cart in front of the horse.
Well, it sounds then that this is a perfect segue for you to talk about networking and perhaps informational interviewing.
Sure. So I think one of the biggest mistakes I see in networking is that people make it transactional instead of relational. In other words, it's almost as if they go out and they meet with somebody and their goal in meeting with somebody is to come away with a job lead or a job offer. And instead, that's like trying to get to the tip of the pyramid without laying the foundation in the first place.
Mm.
And instead, if they can approach it from the perspective of how can I reap in this conversation? And REAP is an acronym that I use, R-E-A-P, which stands for how can I get referrals in this process, or who might I be able to learn from, so that this one person that you're speaking with is just the first link, perhaps, in a long link that's going to get you to link number 7, and link number 7 may be that hiring manager. So looking at it from a long-term perspective. E stands for events, asking them, what events should I be attending so that you're in the places and on the radar screen of the people that can then know and trust you, and then once they trust you, they can recommend you. And the more people you have recommending you to a hiring manager, the greater the statistical success you're going to have of actually getting an offer. A in that REAP acronym would stand for advice. People love to give advice. So, you know, ask people, mm-hmm. what advice would you give me about this particular situation? And then P would be the specific people. So if you can go into a networking conversation and be able to share with people your list of target companies, remember that CIO approach, this is why it's really a foundational step that you can't skip. If you can share with somebody, these are the companies I'm interested in, I'm wondering what you might be able to share with me about the people that might be there that I should get to know, or how I might approach those people. And then that can be very valuable in that process. And, of course, you don't want to go into the whole networking process in that transactional mode where I'm going to get this information. You instead want to go in a sense that I want to bring value to this person at the same time.
Absolutely.
And so that takes some work on people's part. You need to do a little research ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to speak intelligently about about who that person is and drop a comment that shows that you've done a little bit of research ahead of time, and simply asking things. How can I be of benefit to you? What sure. do you need in your life, in your work life?
And it's so easy to do research now with the Internet.
Oh, I mean, boy, isn't it? Right. Yeah. And
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, you know, with the social media sites that are available today, and we may talk, if we've got time, talk about that a little bit later, but if somebody, any of those networking contacts are on Twitter, in the old days it was hard to get to people, but in this kind of an environment, you can follow people and get to know them and get to know not just what they do, but how they do it and how they think. So there's such a greater opportunity to connect with people these days.
So if a person is on Twitter, you're gold.
Yeah, right.
Follow them. Well, just if you could say briefly something about informational interviewing, and a tip that I want to throw out when you are having either a job interview or the informational interview, or maybe you're networking, you're at a party of some kind talking with someone, and you find out that they have an interest in something, even if it's not at all related to your job, it could be that they have a passion for boxers or German shepherds,
mm-hmm.
and you later on are reading an article, you know, just send the article to them. That can show them that you have truly listened to them and you care about them, right?
Absolutely. And I'd love to share an example of what a brilliant client of mine did not too long ago. She went on an informational interview and was transitioning from more of an IT role to, if I'm not mistaken, something that was more related to researching in the legal field. Anyway, she was able to have an interview with a particular individual. I think it was with a Big Four accounting firm. And she learned that this person's child had died 10 years earlier of a particular disease. As a follow-up to her informational interview, she sent a very small donation to that fund and
wow.
let him know about that. Now, do you think that guy is going to remember her when down the road when it comes time for opportunities or openings in his organization?
Incredible.
You bet.
Right?
I mean, how relevant can you be on that?
Yeah.
That score.
No, it was authentic, I'm sure. I mean,
absolutely.
Something probably really did strike a chord with her.
Yes, right. And so back to the informational piece, I think Dick Bowles made that popular in What Color Is Your Parachute so many years ago, and it's just a brilliant move. I think that because so many people are doing it, that employers can be a little bit jaded to it because they know that the purpose behind that is that you're trying to figure out if there are openings there. So the more authentic and that you can be as you approach that relationship or that informational meeting, and really not be about, can I get a job here, but instead be about, you know, what are the trends in this industry, what are the opportunities that you see happening, what are some of the tips and the advice that you would give me. And I think even asking what, you know, if you were in my situation at this point in time, what would you do or what would you have done differently?
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things can really save you some missteps down the road and save you some time. So I think really coming with that attitude of servant, being a servant in this process. And I don't mean, when I say servant, I don't mean to get, you know, walked on, but I think really from an attitude of how can I help you?
Good distinction. And I think it would be wise as well, and you referred to it earlier, to ask, are there other people I should be talking to? I mean, I've heard that it's always good if you're going to an informational interview,
mm-hmm.
emphasis on informational, not a job interview,
right.
but an informational interview to say, you know, is there somebody else that you would suggest I speak to so I can learn more about, mm-hmm. you know, fill in the blank, this field?
Right. And if you can ask that question in an open-ended manner, who else would you recommend that I speak to? It really gives people the opportunity to come up with some names.
Exactly.
And giving them permission to say, and maybe if I can touch base with you in a little bit, maybe you don't have somebody that comes to mind this immediately. If they say they don't, then ask the permission to be able to follow up and permission to just be able to give them an update on where you landed. So that gives you, the job seeker, an opportunity to come back a little bit later. I think that's another big mistake that I see in networking, whether informational or for strictly job search, is
right.
people don't follow through. And that is, it's hard work to follow through. And so give yourself some sort of a system. Make sure that you're using a calendar system, whatever's going to work for you. If it's paper, if it's online, if it's on your iPhone, anything, make sure that you're following up and that you follow, because when you do, that perseverance is going to pay off. I have never seen a job seeker not get a job who didn't persevere.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks for the emphasis on perseverance.
In line with
right
your
now, we need to take one more break, but when we come back, I want to discuss your books along with some social media tips and its potential effect on your career. This is Jory Fisher, your host, and my guest career expert, Susan Whitcomb. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe, ready, waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you destined to be an everyday change agent in your organization, your relationships, your community? Learn how to become one when you tune in to The Change Agent on the Voice America Variety Channel. Justin A. Flunder, the Chief Change Agent Leader of the Flundonian Group, will help you examine every aspect of your personal and professional life. By observing your own thoughts, words, and actions, you will become the everyday leader that you are meant to be. The Change Agent airs live Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. You've been listening to Susan Whitcomb discuss mistakes job seekers make, as well as giving encouragement to people who have recently been laid off and to people who are out there looking for jobs, just encouragement and tips. Well, Susan, would you please say a few words now about the books you already have in the market, as well as the one you're currently writing?
Sure. So the ones that are probably most relevant to this topic would be those from the Magic series, Job Search Magic, Resume Magic, and Interview Magic. And then there's also, for those who might be operating from a Christian faith-based perspective, there's the Christian's Career Journey, Finding the Job God Designed for You. And then the one that I'm currently in writing with, two co-authors, Chanley Bryan and Deb Dibb, is going to be called the Twitter Job Search Guide, and that will be coming out shortly in 2010.
Well, that's actually a good lead-in to discussing social media sites like LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and how they can help you with your job search. So go for it, Susan.
Wow.
How can they help?
Right. Big topic. I think the most important thing that people need to recognize is that recruiters are looking online. Some of the statistics that I see are that recruiters are Googling anywhere from 65% to 80% of them are Googling candidates. And so if you're not online and you don't have a strong online presence, or your online presence isn't what you want employers to perceive it as, then it's time to start being proactive about that.
Would you please say something to any college students or parents of college students who might be listening to this, and grad students? We shouldn't just limit this to college students.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a concern.
Right. And so I guess the biggest concern is, even if you think that your privacy settings in Facebook have been set too high, you never know what somebody's going to take and either post somewhere else or on Twitter or someplace so that employers can see it, and so you have to be super careful about that whole process of what you're putting out online. And I think if you would filter anything that you write, especially on Facebook or MySpace, filter it through the eyes of, would this impact my job security or my ability to get hired? And I know that may be something that feels like, you know, a really restrictive rule, but the reality is 35% of those recruiters that were Googling have decided not to pursue a candidate because of what they found online.
Exactly. And Susan, I've even heard of somebody who made a mistake of putting online where else they were interviewing, and they were about ready to be offered a job, and the employer found out they were interviewing somewhere else, and the candidate had led them to believe they were the only employer they were interested in, and they did not get the job.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are a lot of stories about that. People who have tweeted that they got an offer from a particular company and they weren't excited about it, and then the offer was retracted.
Right.
So really be cautious about that. Now, people definitely need to get their profile put together on LinkedIn. That's the one place you must be these days. You can also consider Twitter, and that's a great place to be able to access people that you normally wouldn't have had access to, as well as position yourself as more of a subject matter expert, or get that brand out there and communicate that brand that you're most interested in. If I were going to give a quick tip, I would point people to a fabulous post on the Mashable.com site by a fellow named Boris Epstein.
And his post is, "Do you pass the social media recruitment test?" And he's got some great tips for what recruiters are looking for on LinkedIn, on a blog, if the person might be blogging, on Facebook, as well as on Twitter. And so that would be a must-go
see. Would you be so kind as to repeat that name, and then we're going to have to wrap this segment up. But
you
repeat
bet.
That so people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you just Google Mashable, M-A-S-H-A-B-L-E, and the name Boris Epstein, E-P-S-T-E-I-N, do you pass the social media recruitment test? You'll find some great tips on how to handle your online profile when it comes to job search.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, thank you. Well, Susan, I would love to have you just talk more and more, and I'm sure our listeners would as well. But thank you so much for coming here and giving us some of your very valuable time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Gosh, it's just been great. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And to our listeners, you've been listening to Heart and Soul. Our guest has been America's career and life coach, Susan Whitcomb from Fresno, California. Each week, Heart and Soul brings you conversations with people who are truly making a difference in their families, communities, and world. And I think you now have some idea of the impact that Susan has had and is having on those who are interested in careers in America. I'd like to leave you with this quote from Rabbi Harold Kushner: "The circumstances of your life have uniquely qualified you to make a contribution. And if you don't make that contribution, nobody else can make it." Wow, Susan, that fits directly into the Mona Lisa piece, doesn't it?
It does.
So I want you all to think about, what is your unique contribution to the world around you? This is Jory Fisher with Heart and Soul. I invite you to visit my website at joryfisher.com to tell your friends about Voice America Variety, and to come back next week to hear the delightfully intellectual proprietor of Hearts and Minds Bookstore, Byron Borger, tell his story of purpose, passion, and perseverance. May you have a blessed and purposeful week, and may you make a difference wherever you go.
Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul, Reflections on Passion, Purpose, and Perseverance. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, when host Jory Fisher brings you another inspiring show. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.